All right. Thank you, Carm. Taking us all the way up to almost news time. It's Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Yeah, we're getting, who knows when we start. That's the fun. You have to hang on. People are sending us tweets and messages. When are you going on? We're going on when Carm's finished, and he is finished now. So big show coming up after 5. What will we talk about? Cody and many other people's hatred for what is happening on our beautiful lakefront this weekend. I don't understand it. We'll talk about air show animosity. We'll talk about our fear of being adults. Why do we have to take our kids everywhere? Why does everything have to be family friendly? We'll get into that. Why did I sound like Jerry Seinfeld when I was doing that that tease? Any idea? No.
Why?
Why did I have to do it? Who was that? Oh, that was Pam. I was like, oh my goodness, wait a minute. I was looking, Cody was not paying attention to the show. I knew Carm was already, you know, Carm looked like the roadrunner leaving Guaranteed Rate Field. He said, Brian Noonan's up next, and then there was a cloud of smoke and he was gone. And Pam and I have just, we're just waiting to see when we're going to start. So Pam, wait, we have 2 minutes. We didn't get to catch up last week about your statement when I mentioned that I had done an episode of an NBC episodic, that you were a big deal on one of the NBC episodics.
Well, yes.
I mean, you worked on Chicago Med for a while, right?
I did work on Chicago Med, but mostly behind the scenes. Not in the sense that you were a big deal, because
I was lack of a big deal.
Totally texting me. Oh my gosh, you know this guy? I'm like, yeah, he's great.
Well, it's funny because I don't lead with hi, Brian, new to WGN, because I'm not that jive, but. A group of us were talking about different things, and somebody said, oh, what do you do? What else do you do? And I said, well, I'm a substitute teacher, and then I'm on WGN. Oh, really? So then it becomes, you know, a thing, but, you know, there I was there to do a job, so
right.
My other jobs don't, you know, it's like when I'm here, this is the job. I'm not doing other stuff.
Right.
And there, so we'll find out all about that. We'll do a whole lot more. But first, we have to get to the news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. 5 o'clock in the afternoon with the news. Here's Pam Jones from high atop the building that we are in on Wacker Drive, overlooking the beautiful skyline of Chicago in the Allstate Skyline Studio. That's what we call it now, Cody, the Allstate Skyline Studio. Big broadcast planned here till 7. Lots of fun. You want to get involved? Of course you do. Then you need to call 312-981-7200. Sure, you can text us. Use the same number. Why not? Save yourself some time. Only memorize one, 312-981-7200. Do you like social media? It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We sure do. We love hearing from people. And by love hearing from people, I mean, we can take it or leave it. But we always appreciate you getting involved. So, when you call in, I almost forgot to tell people to be nice to Cody. How could you forget me after 10 years golf? He's the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. So if you're nice to him, you get to me. That is how it works. We are going to have a regular guy theater review in just a little bit. I was out and about, Cody, again, at the theater because I'm that sort of cultured man about town. I would almost be called a patron of the arts, a socialite, if it were. Back in the days of Hedda Hopper, I probably would have been on some sort of front page or a scandal rag somewhere. Yes, that's right. But I was out and about. So we're going to do that. I've reached the last straw, my last straw. My camel's back is broken because the dumbest idea for making something family friendly has come along, and I'm wondering why we are afraid to be adults anymore. So we'll talk about that after 6 o'clock. Irritating work habits. Why my nipples are sore. We got a lot on our plates. A lot. But I have to start out with, this is an exciting weekend in Chicago. And by exciting, I mean exciting for me, infuriating for some, including our good friend Cody, who is just, he's beside himself with anger and fury because of the air and water show that is going on here. Now, I will preface this by saying I don't live downtown. But I've worked downtown, I work downtown. I'm down here during the practice for the air show. I was very excited to come into work today and watch some of the air show from our palatial green room. A green room so big, I've actually Airbnb'd it now. And they say, what's the occupancy? 1,500. That's how big our green room is. Just one of the green rooms. I have also rented out the Club 720 on Airbnb. Listen, a brother's got to get paid. You know what I'm saying. So I've been noticing this with friends of mine in real life, my friends, and then my social media friends that I use the air quotes around, who some I don't know personally. And it seems to me that the things are split right down the middle on the air show. Some people love it. They think it's the greatest thing ever. Quite frankly, I've never seen the water part of the Air and Water show. It's a rumor to me at this point. Could be fake news, Cody. I'm actually stripping the security clearance of everyone associated with publicizing the Air and Water show until I find out if there's a water portion. But the part that seems to be bothering people is the air part. Because it's noisy. And 3 days a year, it gets real noisy. And I get startled because I hear a jet boom past me and I'm not used to hearing it, so I get startled. My doggy makes poop was in the house because he's startled.
Have you ever been outside?
Yes.
And heard how loud it is?
It's cool.
It's dumb.
It's not dumb.
It's too loud. I live in Lincoln Park.
It's too loud. It's too loud. I'm sorry, Grandpa. It's too loud for you?
No, I was walking around Lakeview today, and there were people stopping in the sidewalk to cover their ears.
Well, then listen. They need to go back to preschool, because it's not that loud where you have to cover your ears.
Mommy, Ryan, stop.
I live 50 feet away from a train on the L.
That was a bad decision.
You've been to my house.
You've been
to my apartment.
You're like John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd in the Blues Brothers.
And I'm between Fullerton and Diversity. There is a high-speed red line or a high-speed brown line just zipping right by.
You give out your address next?
All hours of the night.
I'm on the third floor in the rear apartment, and my window opens to a fire escape, and the lock doesn't work. So if you want to drop by...
There are many homes in that area. Doesn't matter. Nothing compared to this. Like, it's like a sonic boom. At the decibel level, it is an...
These are jets.
It is an... And
this is
why
like when Tom Cruise requested a flyby in Top Gun, and they said no. Because when you get the flyby, it's boom, and then it shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Well, it's done. Now you don't have to. Now what are you going to complain about for the next year?
I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but I think it's valid to complain about.
No, I don't think it is. Because one, you know it's coming every year.
So what am I going to do? Confine myself to indoors in a beautiful summer
weekend? Maybe plan one of your crazy vacations. Maybe find another nerd fest that takes place on Air and Water show. I'm just calling it air show until I have some sort of evidence.
Yeah, I'm the same as you.
Listen. And even if you present that evidence to me, the truth isn't the truth. So I'm not going to worry about whether there's a water part to this or not. So you hate it just because it's noisy?
I am not going to rearrange my vacation schedule based on the whims of Shell Oil Corporation, who sponsors this.
Okay, I don't believe it's the whims of Shell Oil.
It seems whimsical to me.
Do you?
It seems like a whimsical event.
Air shows have been going on as long as there's been flight.
And they've been whimsical as long as there's been flight.
Sure, it's entertaining. It's nice to see these powerful jets. All right, 312-981-7200. You can jump in on this because, I'm all for it. I look at it as I complain about everything because I'm curmudgeonly. That's me. You know, welcome to my wife's life, living with me. So, you know, if I lived down here, would I complain? I don't know. I mean, because I would try to get out.
Oh, you would?
No, I would. I love it. I'm so excited because now it has been discussed that, you know, People hear this sound and they realize that this is a sound that in other countries you hear and it's followed by misery. And I will admit, I have thought that way as well. That, oh my goodness, because we'll all use the terminology. Boy, it sounds like we're in a war zone. Until you hear these jets flying overhead and you realize, wow, that is the sound that unfortunately people hear in war-torn countries. I don't look at it as us trying to flex our military muscle. I think of it as a chance to see the precision of some of these teams, the Blue Angels, etc. I think it's cool to see the older planes doing some tricks. I know these air shows are wrought with peril. We've seen video of different accidents. We remember, I think it was 2 years ago, where one of the parachuters was killed here in Chicago. Just horrible. Horrible. So, you know, are they necessary? Absolutely not. But are they something that people need to get so overwrought about? I guess. We've got, you know, listen, if that's all you've got to worry about, I envy you. And if you live down here and your dog gets a little upset, okay. But, you know, the 4th of July comes every year, and my dogs hate fireworks. And what I do, I put them in a basement, and I turn up the air conditioner, and I turn on the TV. Now, granted, if a jet is flying past your high-rise, it's a lot harder to shield your dogs from those noises. But, you know it's coming. There's things you can do to calm your pets or to calm yourself or take a day. And drive out to the suburbs for a day. Come out to the suburbs and see people. It's not that far. You can leave for a couple hours. The air show doesn't go all day. You know it's a certain window of time. But, you know, poor Cody. Cody lives, oh, man. Cody is, he lives near the L. And so he's very upset. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got a lot of texts coming in. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you get a hold of us, which you should do on WGN. All right, we're talking about the air and water show, or as I call it, the air show, because I haven't really seen a lot of water. I haven't seen any of the water stuff. Somebody texted in, though, saying that there were some water rescue demos. So does that count? I guess. I didn't see them, so they didn't happen. That's what we're living in now. So I don't understand why people are so upset about it. People either love it, like I do, I think it's very cool, or people hate it. And I mentioned real quickly, sidebar, it was a member of the Navy Leapfrogs who passed away, and that was 2 years ago when he was parachuting and it came out. There's military planes and performances and teams, and then there's civilian non-military planes and performers that are all part of the show. And somebody said, why are you against people who have to deal with the most overrated spectacle of the year against their will? Well, first of all, you may call it overrated. I may say, you know, having to drive around all the street closures during Taste of Chicago or one of the many festivals, I may consider that the most overrated. So just because you say it's the most overrated doesn't necessarily mean it is the most overrated. But against their will, well, nobody's holding you here. You could take a day trip. You could get on the L and head out toward the airport or head out somewhere else. Nobody's holding you against your will.
I will not have my vacation schedule dictated by Shell Oil.
You don't have to have your vacation schedule. It's a couple hours a day. So if you don't like the loud noise on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Thursday's practice day, right, or is Friday practice day?
Then I would like Shell Oil Corporation to subsidize me with the money it takes to get out of town.
Shell Oil Company is subsidizing the cost of the air show because somebody said using our tax dollars. We're not using our tax dollars for the air and water show.
Aren't we?
No, because if you say, well, then, you know, what about the police or what about the city services and all of that? I would say then you have to cancel every event in the city. If you're going to complain that city services are being used for one, you have to complain that, all right, let's cancel the St. Patrick's Day Parade and let's cancel Taste of Chicago and let's cancel Blues Fest and let's cancel everything because our tax dollars are going into it. That's why we pay taxes for city services. And if those city services are used for police or the streets and sanitation or whatever, and you don't like it, well, you got to not like it for everything. You can't just say one. More power to you, but I applaud the people that hate it. Listen, if you hate it, okay, you're allowed to hate it. I don't get it. I don't get why. I don't get the vitriol. That's what I don't understand. It's like, well, it's a military show. No, it's not like the proposed military parade where we're going to march our troops down. These are particular units of the armed services that do this. This is not, hey, look at our might. This is, look at these cool, I had the list of performers. So look at the Air Force Thunderbirds. These are an elite group of one of our armed services, and we're going to put on a little show because we can fly in precision, we can do these formations. It's really cool. This isn't let's parade our missiles down the street and our tanks and everything else. It's a whole different thing. The parachute teams, this is for entertainment. And yes, about half of the performers are part of the military. They also have vintage planes, military planes that aren't used anymore that people get to see, you know? And that's our tax dollars. I want to see what I paid all my taxes for. Oh, okay, here's an F-18. Oh, I paid for part of that. That's pretty cool. Look how fast, because thank God I'm not in a place where I'm going to have to see an F-15 flying over my house or an F-18 flying over my house all the time. Thank God. But now I can see it once a year. Yeah, I kicked in for some of that. You know, probably half a screw, not even. A washer, maybe.
No, not even that.
Not even a washer. No, not you're right. Not with a government contract. I don't think all of us together bought a screw and a washer.
Well, I get if you don't understand if you think that the backlash is disproportionate.
I believe it's way
disproportionate. I think that's where you're coming from. Because if you say you don't understand where any of the complaints come from, dude, it's so loud. And, I mean, I live not too close to the lake, but, like, it's bad.
You can hear it. The planes don't just fly up and down the lake. They fly in, so people all over the city are hearing it.
I get it. There aren't many places where you can hear it and not see it. Because you said, you know, sure, people like to look up. But there are places where it's just a nuisance. And that can be a problem.
It's not a constant drone all day. It's not like if your neighbor left town with their alarm going off. You're not hearing it 24/7. Because they're not all flying all together. You hear it, then, you know, maybe 15 minutes later, you hear another, and then during the show, you might hear, yes, it is very disproportionate. And I think part of it is, too, people just love to complain.
I don't...
People, they love to have something to get upset about.
Look, if I walk under the L tracks while a train's going overhead, I'm annoyed because I'm like, oh, that's really, really loud. But I'm not saying we shouldn't have the L. Be nice if they could make it quieter, but you know what I mean? Like, it's still annoying, even if it's a fact of life. Right. And I think people can feel the same way about
it. It's a fact of life.
Even if you like the planes flying around and you're like, okay, it's a thing they do every year, like, I think it's perfectly within people's rights to just get really annoyed that it's super loud and it literally hurts your ears because the decibel level, when some of the little zooms come by,
I understand.
Like, way louder than even if you're standing under the train.
Are we all that sensitive, though, that a loud noise throws us into a conniption?
I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but I think that people are perfectly justified.
If you're walking down Michigan Avenue
yesterday or today, no one's ever done that.
And your ears start to bleed from the air and questionably water show, Aaron, maybe something in the water show, I'm not sold on it, then you've got a right to really complain. You go to the city, go, my ears are bleeding. Why? Because an F-18 buzzed me. Well, did they request a flyby? Yes, they did. What did you say? I said, I guess. Well, then it's your fault. You know, it's like the people who buy an apartment near Wrigley Field and complain about the crowds.
It's so crowded here.
Oh, well, come on, that's totally different.
This is a three-day thing that you have a lot of warning about. If it bothers you that much, figure something out. That's why it's complaining to be fashionable. It's complaining because, you know, this is a slight inconvenience. Is it stopping you from going anywhere? Is it stopping you from going to work? Is it stopping you? What's it stopping you from? Having a couple minutes peace and quiet over a three-day weekend. That's it. It's not, you know. And yeah, traffic's a little worse on Lakeshore Drive because yokels are trying to, can I watch from here? No, you got to keep driving. But it's a short window on those days, and you move on.
I think it's a short window off a long pier, Brian.
Well, listen. Let's see. I'm looking to see.
Texter from the 224 wants to know who's the doofus who's complaining. That's me.
A lot. No, there's a lot. There's. It's not just Cody. It's a huge chunk of the population. This is one of the few things I would wager almost a 50-50 split. This is truly a city divided.
Yeah.
People are, oh man. And even people from far-flung areas would never see a plane.
I was just offered earplugs from Margaret in Bridgeport. Thank you very much.
Yeah, listen. Foam. You know what a pair of foam earplugs cost you? Less than a buck.
I want Shell Oil Corporation to subsidize me for the buck earplugs.
All right, you know what? I'm going to propose this to Shell. Next year, on Wednesday, put out little baby cradles filled with foam earplugs. And then all the little babies can come and put them all over the city. Anywhere where a little baby grown person might have their sensitive ears bothered. and make them in adult sizes, kid sizes, dog sizes. Cats can fend for themselves. I'm not going to worry about them. And just put them out all over the city. It costs you, you know, let's say 10 grand, maybe. Not even. You put it out, and then... And here's the thing. Somehow you figure out a way that when they tear open the box or tear open the little bag with the foam earplugs, there's an airplane sound that goes right there. So you pull the tab and it goes, vroom, and it goes, oh, you got me again. All right. We're going to quiet down now because obviously loud sounds scare everybody. So we're gonna, we're going to calm down.
You're such a troll.
Hot talk, Cody. Got a hot takes. Hot takes on the air show, 5 o'clock. That's what we do. Now we're going to have another hot take on a Broadway show after the news. A lot of hot takes on WGN. Yes, it's time for another regular guy theater review. Yes, sometimes Cody goes to the theater with me. Sometimes I go by myself. Well, not by myself. My lovely bride is always my my plus one because she makes me take her. She thanks me every time like I'm going to take somebody else. Oh, thanks for taking me. Of course I took you. What am I going to do? Scroll through, you know, Facebook for a date? No, I'm happy to take her. So, as you know, we go to the theater. We're not fancy schmancy theater critics. We, you know, we don't wear ascots and monocles. We don't, we just go to see if we had a good time. So the other night, it was Thursday night, as a matter of fact, August 16th, which was a special night to go see Heartbreak Hotel, the Broadway in Chicago play about Elvis that is playing now at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, because it was the 41st anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. Also, it was the day that Aretha Franklin died. Very sad and a big loss for the music world. So before the show, the cast had a candlelight vigil. What? Vigil. Yes, V-I-G-I-L. That's how you pronounce it, not visual.
The cast was visual.
No, it was a vigil. I haven't even... Boy, you'd think I'm, you know, half liquored up. Instead of three-quarters liquored up, which is where I usually try to operate the program. That's the sweet spot, three-quarters liquored up. Anyway, they had a candlelight vigil, which was very nice. The whole cast came out, did a couple of songs. Our friend Eddie Clendenning, who plays Elvis, was there as Elvis. And then the nice part was they also did three of the women in the cast did a beautiful rendition of Respect in honor of Aretha Franklin. And they also had a, at the end of the performance, they did a moment of silence for Aretha Franklin, which was very nice as well. All right, so did I enjoy the show? If you haven't heard, the Heartbreak Hotel is the story of Elvis's first 18 months of going into Sun Records, meeting Sam Phillips, and within 18 months, he had number one songs. He had been signed with RCA. There was a love betrayal. There was Colonel Tom Parker came onto the picture and bought out his contract from Sam Phillips under the for 40 grand. He saw Sam Phillips sold Elvis' contract 40 grand. Part of the stipulation was that that Colonel Parker would be able to get him on national TV within a month, I believe it was. So that all of this plays in. And if you've been listening to the program, you've heard Eddie Clendenning on here a couple of times. We were fortunate enough to talk to him and hear him sing. And he does a wonderful job as Elvis. The show is the Broadway Playhouse. Have you been to the Broadway Playhouse, Cody, the one at Water Tower Place? It's a small venue. It's not like going to the Oriental or the Chicago Theater. Smaller venue. Oh, hold on. I turned down the Elvis music, and now I must turn down your mic. There you go.
Yes, I think I've been there.
Okay. Well, it's a nice little venue, and the staging was pretty sparse. There, you know, things would come in and out, and they used three video screens behind. Occasionally, it would look like a recording studio, or it would look like signs on Beale Street, or it would look various other things would pop up. Crowd shots of Elvis performing on the hayride and things like that. One, as an Elvis fan, I found the show to be a lot of fun. I thought the band that backed Eddie up was terrific. Matt Cardina was part of the band. He was in with us last week. Zach Lentino plays Bill Black, the bass player, and it was a really tight band, and they knew how to play the Elvis music and play the other music that was in there, because it started out there was some history. There was a history lesson too. you know, kind of showing some of Elvis's influences. Because the big thing throughout those first 18 months, and I'm using a term that is in the show, race music. They were referring to this as race music. And Sam Phillips had been looking for a white kid who could do some of the music that these black performers had been doing and sell it to a wider audience. So that begets later in Elvis's life a lot of the controversy about, you know, having him having co-opted a certain sound and a certain type of music. But this first 18 months, I thought the performances were great. The guy who played Sam Phillips, first of all, it's all kind of narrated by the character of Dewey Phillips, who was a big Memphis DJ. Red Hot and Blue was his radio show. And he would, so Colt Julian plays Dewey Phillips, and he's in the corner, and he's narrating and kind of giving us the history. And there's Chuck Berry comes out, and Roy Brown, and a lot of other acts are represented. Overall, I enjoyed it. It's a hard story to tell because you're trying to, what they were trying to do is tell the story of Elvis's early years. And you can't do that without putting him in the cultural upheaval that was going on in this country and specifically in the South during the late 50s as he was getting ready to, because this, the time period of the play ended before he went off to war. So it ended in the late 50s. And there was talk, you know, toward the end, there was a part that in my mind, it didn't really fit. But then as I thought more about it, it did in the context of the times. And that's how they were trying to put Elvis in the context of the times. So overall, I would say, if you like Elvis, you gotta go see this. If you kinda like Elvis, I would say go see this. The good news is the show has been extended and it's going to run through at least October 28th. So you can go and check it out. It's a lot of fun. And toward the end of the show, like they do in a lot of these, what people are calling jukebox musicals, you know, like the Cher show and the Mamma Mia and some of these other ones. They did it with, Beautiful, the Carole King musical. After the show is over, then the cast comes out and they do a couple songs. They just perform a couple songs, and Eddie was singing, the band is playing, and the cast is dancing around. They brought out another piano, and the guy who played Dewey Phillips was playing on the piano. It was great. You know, I really enjoyed it. So, what's our ratings? What's our rating scale again for the theater?
Pieces of spaghetti.
No,
which I thought was an odd.
That's, yeah, no, I don't like that. That can't be right.
Well, that was an update from
spaghetti.
Lunchables used to be our. It was how many peaches in a Lunchable?
Boy, are you sure you're listening to this show?
I might be making it up.
Yeah, I don't think that's part of this. I don't think that's part of this program at all.
Might be,
but I'll just recommend it. I'll give it. I'll give it four, because I like to wear my bow ties to the theater.
Four bow ties.
I'll give it four bow ties.
Out of four bow ties?
Yes, four bow ties out of four bow ties.
Wow.
I almost untied one of the bow ties. It made it 3.5 bow ties.
Whoa.
But I'm going to go four bow ties on the inaugural bow tie rating system. So we're going to go four bow ties for Heartbreak Hotel, playing now at the Broadway Playhouse. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com and get your tickets. Here, all right, so there's the end of the Regular Guy Theater Review. That's me looking at it going, yeah, if you love Elvis, you're going to love this show. If you kind of like Elvis, you're going to really like this show. If you don't like Elvis, why would you buy tickets to Heartbreak Hotel anyway? Go see something else. There's a million great shows in Chicago. Don't go, I hate Elvis. Where are you going? Heartbreak Hotel? What? Then you come out and you write a nasty Yelp review. This guy, blah, 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 blah. Do you like Elvis at all? Never have, never will. Don't understand it. Okay, that's fine. Then why would you go? All right, so that aside. So we go early because we wanted to see this candlelight vigil that was happening. That was happening at like 6:15 and the curtain, as they say in the theater, Cody. Curtain was at 7:30. So we get there and it was nice and a small crowd, you know, the TV stations were there, a small crowd had gathered and the whole cast was out there. And I saw Eddie, you know, Because I'm tall and he's tall, so we're looking over all the other short people that were lined up in front of me. And he made eye contact, gave the little upward nod, you know. Hey, man, it's him. That's the guy nod.
How cool did you feel?
Oh, Debbie was like, oh. And then, so then it's all over. And I'm all the way in the back. I'm letting other people. I'm not trying to stand out other than the fact that I looked dapper as hell in my, sporco bow tie, cool white, brown and white shoes that were, oh man, sweet. So anyway, I'm standing there. You know how sweet I looked? Eddie walked over and goes, man, you look snazzy. That's right. Then I introduced him to Debbie. So Debbie got to meet, Elvis. So she was very excited. It's very sad that in my life, there's a few times where I can tell that she's impressed by it. Impressed that she gets to hang out with me. It's like, oh, I got to meet the guy who plays Elvis. So, that, you know, for a minute, my stock went up incrementally. But it was like a penny stock that went up to 3 cents. And we only owned 2 shares. So we didn't make a whole lot of money on my stock. But it was nice. It was fun for her to see that. And they did a really nice job with the tribute, the vigil. I've been to Gray. You ever been? You've never been to Graceland. That's too commercial for you?
Not for me.
Is that the man?
My wife's been.
Has she?
Mm-hmm.
Graceland is a wonderful place.
Yeah, I would check it out.
It's sad. It's sad and wonderful at the same time. Because you saw a taste of Colonel Parker in the show Heartbreak Hotel. Not a nice guy.
Yeah.
Didn't care about Elvis at all, I don't believe. And again, I'm an Elvis fan, so I'm not getting all my Elvis information from this one show. To the point where he was not a manager. He was a promoter. So he didn't care about the personal development of Elvis. All he cared about was what he could do to make money from Elvis. And so you see that come out. And that's why when you go to Graceland, you're overcome by the fact that here's a guy who came. We hear stories about people who come from nothing. And Elvis is one of those guys. There's no doubt about it. He came from absolute nothing. Dirt poor, not well educated. He started working after high school for the electric company, and then he went into, Sun Records, and the rest is history. But you see Graceland, which until you walk up on it, you think Graceland is going to be this giant, huge, any other adjective that means large that you can throw onto a house. It is going to be a palatial estate. Now, the grounds are pretty big, but the house itself is big, but nothing that you wouldn't see. You know, you'd drive through Wilmette and see houses that were bigger. So, you know, you pull up, and again, the grounds are big, so it's a long driveway, and it's very cool. And then you come to the house, and it's decorated, one, you know, in the time. So it's decorated in the 50s and 60s, early 70s. But you go, this is a guy who, you know, from very humble roots, this is what he thought rich people, this is how rich people would decorate a house, you know, coming from a guy who's never had any money. It's kind of, you know, we could leave out current and, similarities. But it's, and then you see how, you see more of the story as you go through the grounds, and the whole other side of the street is like a big Elvis amusement park with all kind of souvenir stands, and everything is, you know, everything is tchotchkes and his face plastered on everything. You know, this is a guy who people treated kind of like a racehorse, and they rode him as long as they could, and then kind of did whatever they could to keep him out there, no matter what happened. But that's the depressing part of this story. The uplifting part is the first part, and you can go see that Heartbreak Hotel. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then I need help from people who are out exercising all the time because one of my body parts is very, very chafed and sore. Yes, what part is it? Well, you'll just have to come back and find out. I was not running with the devil yesterday, but I was running with about 650 other people at the Corrida del Mariachi 5K run, the inaugural Corrida del Mariachi, the run of the mariachis. We'll talk about this, and then I'll chastise Roger for mocking me, which I think was uncalled for. But anyway, so the last two Saturdays, I've been in 5Ks. And they're run walks, 5K run walks. But the thing that was common to both of them is they have medals. Because my wife has decided that she wants to do this, she wants to begin training so that one day she can do this challenge at Disney World where you run a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a marathon in 4 days. Now, most people would laugh at that, say, that's ridiculous. But not me, because I'm a supportive husband. And I said, okay, that's cool. What can I do to help? And she said, well, I'm doing these 5Ks, but I only will do a 5K that gives you a medal. There's some 5Ks that don't give you medals. And you know what we say to them? Forget about it. You got to get a medal. So last week, we did the Stan's Donut 5K. It started at Montrose Harbor. And yes, in case you're wondering, sure, there's two donut stations during the run, and then you get a big full-size donut afterwards. And a really cool medal. And yesterday, as I said, the Corrida del Mariachi 5K run. This is how you know that the races are crazy. You know, a lot of places when you end these 5Ks, you get protein bars and bananas, and there's all sorts of sponsors with healthy things there. Here's what they, now last week they gave us a donut, which is, you know, not the healthiest thing. Yesterday, you got a tamale and one of those, Jalisco, I believe is the brand of pop from, it's Mexican pop made with, as they put right on there, real sugar.
Jarritos?
Jarritos, yes, Jarritos.
I love Jarritos.
I had never had one. I've seen Jarritos everywhere. You know, I see them all the time. And yet, I had never had a Jarritos until yesterday. And I had a mango Jarritos and a tamale. So nothing says, hey, you just did something really healthy at 9 a.m. than a mango Jarritos and a tamale. Fantastic.
Technically still better than a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of 5Ks were doing
the
beer after.
Oh, yeah, the Turkey Trot and Santa Hustle. Yeah, we're doing those, too. You get the beer afterward. Mm-hmm. Like that. Or
you earned it, but it actually kind of inhibits your like muscle repair and growth and whatever.
Well, I don't know. My muscles, last week I did something to my heel. So I didn't think I was going to be able to do yesterday's. But because I'm, you know, I know, I don't know pain. I have a high threshold for pain.
Sure.
I mean, I know what pain is because I'm in it. But if I didn't do stuff just because I was in pain, I would never get out of bed. But here's the worst part. I can deal with heel pain and my shins hurting and stuff. My nipples are all chafed.
Excuse me?
You heard it. My nipples are raw. Because they gave you one of those the nylon tech shirts that are supposed to wick away moisture. They wicked away the first layer of skin on my nipples.
Ouch.
I know. And I thought it was just, I kind of noticed it last week with the Stan shirt. And I thought, well, I don't know, maybe I was just too jiggly with my moobs. But yesterday's shirt was a little tighter, and oh man, even today I went to take a shower.
Tingly.
Yeah, so I might have to go to Band-Aids on my nipples like a marathoner.
Oh.
Yeah, but then that means I have to shave because I've got so much hair.
Yeah.
That if I put Band-Aids on my moobs and then went to the pain from tearing the Band-Aids off would be worse than the tingly nipple sensation that I'm going through.
But then if you get the Band-Aids, you got to make a fashion statement with them. So which type of Band-Aids
are
you
going to... Well, first of all, I'm not running topless, so nobody's going to see the Band-Aids.
Oh, well.
Because that is a horror show.
Don't you have to change
needs.
If they give you one of those new shirts?
No, you do packet pickup the day before. I arrived in my shirt.
Okay.
All right, Cody's yelling. We got to do this. Then, after the news, I'll chastise Roger, and we'll find out why we're all afraid of being adults. Brian Noonan at 720 WGN. Yes, Cody, I forgot to turn the mic on. I just started doing the show without the microphone. Not an effective way to broadcast here in the Allstate Skybox studio.
I thought you were looking at ways to improve the show.
Sure. That was, you know, that's I'm putting management notes into action. Hey, do the show, but here's the thought. Don't put the mic on. We found our audience research shows that people like you, they just don't like hearing you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it goes. And obviously some of them don't like looking at me, Cody, because Roger sat down and immediately mocked my shirt.
I did.
You did.
I did not.
The tone was mocking.
I was studious.
No, it's a polo shirt with...
Yeah, it's very nice. Hawaiian-looking
shirt. It's coral in color with some hibiscus flowers on it.
I like hibiscus flowers.
It's summer. I don't know if you've been outside, Roger. It's summertime.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Some people wear floral or bright colors. Mm-hmm. in the summer.
Very
much
cooling.
Like myself.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
I was not mocking.
I don't know why you came out hot. Maybe that kind of thing flies on the other shows that you work on. Just coming out and mocking.
You're the only one who wears Hawaiian style. Very
well, I'm
cool
the only one with
shirts.
Any taste. Everybody else is drab.
Well, you know, they come
not,
in.
Not their on-air personas, but their wardrobes. I will clarify that. But yeah, it's their wardrobe drab. Their on-air persona is very nice.
And I told you, I've always thought of getting some of those type of shirts to wear.
I enjoy all sorts of floral and Hawaiian apparel.
That's very nice.
And again, we're always looking for sponsors. So Tommy Bahama, if you're listening, this is not a Tommy Bahama, but I wear many, many Tommy Bahamas. And if you're looking, call sales. 312-981-7200. Yeah. They'll put you right through to sales.
No, they won't.
No.
We can't put people through to anywhere.
All right.
They go to
WGNradio.com and contact us. Don't text. They just, you know what? How about you just show up with a briefcase full of cash and say you want to put it on the show?
That might get you a meeting. But I don't even know.
I don't know. Who knows? All right. So there you go. So Roger has mocked me already. And I don't hold that against him. You know, some people, they pick the low-hanging fruit. He went after the shirt. And that's his low-hanging fruit.
That's kind of stood out in the video that I'm looking at, the live video stream.
Coral with flowers on it. It's, you know. There's nothing wrong with that.
You chose just a plain royal blue button-up shirt,
mm-hmm. like a dress shirt. Mm-hmm. Plain royal blue. Nothing wrong with that in the right context.
I'm semi-professional. If I was very professional, I would be wearing a tie and a sport coat.
Yeah, and again, who sees us? I mean, now everybody sees us because now we're multi-platform.
Well, not everyone, but only those who sign on to the stream.
Yeah,
the video stream.
Listen, you're meant to listen to this. That's what this is. This is theater of the mind.
Yeah.
If I wanted to do a puppet show, I would have gone into puppetry. Cody's like, oh, you're walking a dangerous path there, my friend. I'm not. Let's get to this.
Yes.
You know what it takes? It takes an adult to say what he thinks, and that's what I am. And I don't mind being an adult. I love children. Don't take that out of context. I have a child. She is now an adult. Sometimes when you have a child, you still want to act like an adult. Some parents don't. Some people think that everywhere we go should be family friendly and everything should be accepting of children. Oh my goodness. Can we bring the kids? No. What do you mean you're having a wedding and it's adults only? 'Cause it's adults only and I don't want kids. What do you mean by that sign on your restaurant window that says no toddlers allowed? Our child is wonderful and should be allowed to come everywhere. Well, your child may be wonderful, but it should not be allowed to go everywhere. There should be places where adults can go and be adults. Why are you bringing this up, Brian? You may quandary. I'm bringing this up because I read, and thanks to Karen Conti for forwarding this story to me because she knew it would infuriate me. And it did. Want to hear the dumbest thing in the history of stupid? This comes from Louisiana Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Now, if you know anything about me, you know there's two cities I love. I'm sitting in one of them right now. Cody, what would be the other city? If I could live anywhere in the USA other than Sweet Home Chicago, where would I be?
New Orleans?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
What is New Orleans?
New Orleans is the Crescent City. It's the Big Easy. It's my home away from home. It's a place that I love. It's a place, while there are many family destinations, that has some very, very adult parts of it. Well, the lieutenant governor has decided he's going to put forth a proposal that we need to make things a little safer in the French Quarter. And so he wants to make the French Quarter, close it off and make it into a state park. The entire French Quarter. Which is, I forget how many blocks the French Quarter is. Let's say it's a little over 80 blocks. 78 blocks encompasses the entire French Quarter. Now, Bourbon Street is the focus of all this. All right. The idea here is this lieutenant governor. He believes that the city, which attracted a record 10.9 million visitors last year, has reached a quote-unquote critical point in its struggle to maintain public safety. His prescription is turning the French Quarter into a state park to make it more family-friendly. There is absolutely no reason to make the French Quarter family friendly. Now, this is easy for somebody who's never been there to go, Bourbon Street, I've seen Bourbon Street, people are flashing to get beads, and there's all sorts of strip joints and things. Yep, there sure are. That's about, I'll say, 10 blocks in the French Quarter. It's a straight shot right down Bourbon Street. The rest of the French Quarter is filled with shops and restaurants and some homes and a cathedral and a lot of other places. So, I think, well, first of all, this is a ridiculous idea. And the mayor of New Orleans has pretty much said this is a non-starter. Because here's a number that's going to blow your mind. New Orleans, their tourism industry last year, $7.5 billion with a B. That's how much money New Orleans takes in. And a lot of it is not only conventions, but it's people who go there for a good adult time. Now, there's a lot of things you can do in New Orleans, including in the French Quarter, that are family friendly. But the French Quarter is not Colonial Williamsburg. It's not Greenfield Village. It's not one of these places. It's not one of these places where you want people dressed up in costumes. You can find people dressed in costumes and take one of their little tours. That's cool. Or if you're there with your little kids and you don't want them to see, you know, a sign for a strip joint, well, then don't walk down Bourbon Street. There's a lot of other places you can go. I'm tired of us always having to have all-inclusive. Not the races and the sexes and all of that. But kids don't have to go everywhere. Now, I think Cheryl disagrees with me. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi. I do disagree with you. Kids are people. It doesn't matter what people. Age they're in.
No, come on, Cheryl. You can't believe that it doesn't matter what age children are.
Oh, I do believe that. It's like saying, okay, it's adults only swimming tonight. No, that's not fair. That's like saying, okay, only Italians can swim tonight.
All right, Cheryl, first of all, you're not discriminating. It's absolutely nothing like saying only Italians can swim tonight. It's saying this is an establishment that is set up for adults. When a kid can go there when they're an adult. It's not discriminatory, it's just time sensitive. You will be able to appreciate this when, should kids be able to drink? Should a three-year-old be able to crack a beer with me on a Sunday afternoon? Of course not. But when they're an adult, they can sit down and crack a beer with me. If I want to go to a restaurant that's, say, Alina or one of these very fancy restaurants, I should be able to go there, and while I have children and love children, I should be able to go there in peace. I don't want to go to a really exclusive place and have to worry about a two-year-old screaming and crying and ruining my thing. If I want that, there's a million restaurants that children can go to, and I've gone to them with them. But no, children should not be allowed to go everywhere.
It's a pet peeve of mine when the park district closes the pool at a certain hour and says this is adults only. It makes all the kids get out of the pool.
Right, and you know what? They can learn that for an hour, somebody else gets a turn. Because the kids get to swim all the time. And sometimes adults want to swim without having to worry that, you know, that there's a little kid there. There should be time set aside for adults. And they give them what? What do they get for adult swim? Like an hour?
Whatever. I just disagree. I think kids are people and should be able to go wherever they want to go.
Wow. All right, well, Cheryl, we are going to disagree on that one vehemently, but I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Take care. No, kids should not be allowed to go wherever they want to go. There's absolutely, and we don't need to. Listen. Roger, you're a guy, you're formerly from, all right, now Roger's gone. Once he's done insulting me, he leaves, but I do need to ask him something. All right, let's take a break. I'm gonna try to focus, because I can't believe that the statement that Cheryl made, that kids should be allowed to go, kids should be allowed to go wherever they want. Holy Moses. And Margaret from Bridgeport is bringing up a point that I am going to get to. We tried to make an adult destination family friendly once. It did not go well. 312-981-7200. You're welcome to weigh in. We're going to get to more of this on the other side. It's WGN. The Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana has probably the worst idea in the history of political ideas. His idea is to, I can't even say it, Cody, to turn the French Quarter into a state park and make it more, quote-unquote, family-friendly. No. Now, people might say, well, what about the crime? You know, we got to do that for the crime because the French Quarter, oh, it's probably notorious for horrible crime. Well, that's what the lieutenant governor said. But in fact, the French Quarter is already one of the safest pockets in New Orleans. Police say violent crime has been falling there, even as the city's homicide rate remains one of the highest in the nation. There's a $40 million public safety plan. The murder rate, of course, in New Orleans, very high, like a lot of major cities. There's a lot of crime, but the French Quarter is not it. But the bigger part of this, if you've never been to the French Quarter, you might be thinking, what's the big deal here? The big deal is we're turning into a nation where we can't have places just for adults. We can't have places that might have a little vice to them because our kids are not involved. We can't take the kids there, so why should we be able to go? Roger, you're a former denizen of Las Vegas, Nevada, a.k.a. Sin City.
Yes, I are.
Do you remember the bright idea that Las Vegas had, probably 20 years ago? They were going to make Las Vegas family-friendly. We're going to bring the kids. Mm-hmm. Let the kids come. The new MGM Grand Hotel is going to have an amusement park and a Wizard of Oz-themed buffet. And the families are going to bring kids to Las Vegas, and it's just going to be lovely. How'd that work out?
Yeah, it didn't.
Didn't work out at all. You know why?
Why?
Because people want to go to Las Vegas to drink and gamble and see shows and sin and leave their kids home with grandma and grandpa.
Right.
And get away and act like a lunatic for 2 days and then come back broke, sad, and full of regret.
Because you know what they say. What happens in Vegas stays there. Yeah.
No, not if the kids come. Because the kids will never shut up about it.
And it's remember not that the time first Daddy time. Took the card from the guy on the street and then a strange woman came to our hotel?
Yeah, right. No, Daddy doesn't remember that.
Well, I do. I have pictures, Daddy. Shut up. I knew I should have left you at home.
kids don't need you. Cody's like, what are you talking about? Come to Vegas with me, Cody. We'll have a good time.
It happens all the time.
Sure, we'll do the show from Vegas.
Yeah.
After we do it at Tangle Park in Ireland.
Yeah. But that's not the first time. What you mentioned, because I was there in the mid-70s.
Right.
They were trying to do that then. They had game rooms. Every hotel had game rooms for the kids and tried to have, like, separate family areas of the pool. And it never worked out. The local kids came in and hung out at the game rooms all day and night long.
Yeah, no. There's certain places that should be for adults. Text from the 630. Brian, I have 4 kids and 7 grandkids. I am also a teacher. I love kids. No friggin' way should everything be kid-friendly. Restaurants, French Quarter, come on. Pat wants to jump in. She's in Lockport. Hi, Pat.
Hi there, Brian. I want to preface what I have to say. Sure. I am a mother of 6, grandmother of 13, and great-grandmother of 1.5.
So you're telling me you don't like kids at all?
I hate them. Yeah,
all right. You don't want them around.
You know, but the thing of it is, I think it's important for adult and children activities in particular circumstances to be separate for 2 important reasons. Mutual respect that you have your time, I have my time, and I think it teaches children restraint, and it teaches them tolerance, and it teaches them respect. When my little grandchildren come here, now they range in age from 4 to 28, there are restrictions here. You may go here, you may do this, but you may not do this and this and this. And I think, overall speaking, kids need to know boundaries.
Uh-huh.
And yes, like the other lady said, yes, their children are people too.
Of course they are, but they're little young people.
However, those little people need to be schooled and treated as little people, and big people need to be treated as adults.
That is exactly right, Pat. Very well said. Thank you for the call.
Sure.
And listen, do work on your tolerance with children. It's obvious that you don't, you can't stomach them.
Oh, I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Thanks, Pat. Take
Bye.
Care. Craziness to me. And this hit close to home because, as I said, we just spent 4 years going back and forth to New Orleans a bunch of times. I do love that city. And I like the French Quarter. And you know where I don't go in the French Quarter? Bourbon Street. Because it's, you know, you go there once or twice, you wander down to Pat O'Brien's, you get a couple hurricanes, and that, but, you know, I'm not going into these clubs, but that doesn't mean I want to see, you know, people all dressed up and cordoned off and forest rangers standing on every corner and all the little stores and bars and everything else closed down. It's ridiculous.
But there's parts of the French Quarter that are very, horrible English term here, but French Quarter-y. at where you can experience. In other words, you can experience the essence of French Quarter.
Hang on to that thought. We'll talk about it after the news. Roger, somebody is accusing me of having been rude to you because we had to cut you off. But I told them in the text that there are clocks in your newsroom. You know what time you have to do the news,
exactly,
which is at 6:30. Right. You also know my disdain for the clock, so you knew we were running late. So when I told you I had to cut you off then because I would talk to you after the news, it was because I'm a professional broadcaster.
Why, yes, you are.
There's plenty of rudeness, usually coming from Roger mocking my clothes. Would you concur, Cody the G?
Yeah, and because I was yelling at you.
And because Cody was yelling at me, because Cody, also a professional broadcaster, knows what time. His job is to ride herd on me.
Yeah,
my job is to do whatever the heck I want and say what I want and suffer the repercussions afterwards.
Right.
Cody's job is to make sure that while I'm doing all that, I also adhere to station policy, which is, hey, let's play the commercials, you know, the people who pay the bills.
Right.
So I do that, and, you know, so you need to take some responsibility for that.
I do, and I do apologize.
No, you don't apologize to me. I'm not upset with you.
No, I'm apologizing that I was not as aware of the clock as I should have been.
No, listen. I'm not mad. I wasn't mad. I didn't think I was being rude. I told you we'd talk after the news. And look, we're talking after the news. What was your point about?
I would like to apologize for something.
What would you like to apologize for? Wow, this is a lot of sadness.
We're coming clean now.
Yeah, this is it. I'm not apologizing for Jack. Just so you know, as the show goes
on, make up for it.
There's nothing I have to apologize. I have no regrets. Go ahead, Cody.
I haven't decided on what I'm apologizing for yet.
It's culture. We must always apologize.
He's preparing us for a potential.
No, Cody's going to walk back something that he said earlier. I'm sure. We all do. We all have to walk it back. Not me, though. No regrets.
Walk things back?
No, you don't apologize or walk it back.
I apologize for not walking things back.
There you go. Perfect. All right. So just to reset, here's what we're talking about. Kara Conti sent me this article yesterday because she knew it would get me all riled up. And it did. It's basically the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana is proposing that, you know what, we need to make the French Quarter more family friendly. So maybe we'll just make it into a state park and then we'll clean it up and it'll be all safe, despite the fact that the statistics show that the French Quarter is probably the safest neighborhood in New Orleans. That led me to get all worked up, not only about New Orleans, but about everywhere we go, that now kids are just assumed to be allowed everywhere. We have to make everything family-friendly because, God forbid, adults get to be adults and go to a place where there might be vice or there might be adult activities going on. Or adults might just want to be around other adults. And while we like kids, we don't always have to be around kids. And that seemed to get... gotten people upset. We use the example of Las Vegas, which is the ultimate city of vice.
It's known as Sin City.
Sure. Yeah. And then they tried to make it family friendly. Did not work out.
No.
And now they have gone back to fully embracing, listen, this is where adults come to do things that they don't talk about anywhere else. And you had a point you wanted to make.
Well, you were talking about the French Quarter.
Yes.
And how, you know, parents can choose where to go, and you were saying downtown or the main part of the French Quarter is not a place that once you've visited once or twice as a tourist, that if you want to bring your family with you, the kids, there are other parts of the French Quarter where you can gain that experience and not have to deal with the bawdiness, so to speak.
You can be in the French Quarter all day without ever going on Bourbon Street.
There you go.
You can go down to St. Patrick's, the Cathedral Square. You can walk around. You can see all of the kind of architecture and houses and the balconies. And you can be on the side streets. And you can cross over Bourbon Street, because Bourbon Street runs east and west. You can cross over it and go up toward Armstrong Park. Mm-hmm. You can go everywhere. And you never have to be. And actually, the part with, other than bars, there's only like a 4-block stretch of Bourbon Street where there's some of the strip clubs. After that, it's just bars. And listen, if you have your 3-year-old on Bourbon Street at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, I'm questioning your parenting skills.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean I need to say, yes, let's clean this all up, because these hundreds of thousands, millions of people who come to New Orleans for vacations and conventions and everything else, they shouldn't have the right to act like adults because your child needs to come in here.
Right.
No. Your child can go to the aquarium or to Mardi Gras World.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened to Times Square. Have you been to Times Square recently?
Cleaned it up.
It is awful.
What do you mean it's awful?
It's horrific. And now it's overrun, instead of hookers and pimps and drug dealers, now it's overrun by people in molting character costumes who are accosting everybody to try to get
$10 for a picture. That's like what's happening in Vegas on the Strip.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Well, and here's the other thing that I've never understood. And like you said, I lived in Vegas for 3.5 years. There are two counties in Nevada where prostitution is illegal.
Yes.
And it is where Las Vegas is, Clark County,
mm-hmm.
and Washoe County, which is where Reno is. Does that stop it?
No.
No.
And listen, I'm not going to argue in favor of prostitution.
No.
But I'm going to argue in favor of, there's people in this state who gamble illegally. There's people, but let's keep it away from illegal activities and just keep it at legal activities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to go into a strip club, that's on you. It's not, not my thing, but you want to go there? Okay. You're over 21. Go ahead. You want to go to a bar? That's my thing. I shouldn't have to go into a bar and worry about, during the day, it's different. You want to bring your kid into a bar because it's a bar restaurant and you're having sandwiches? That's cool. But you have to remember, first and foremost, it's a bar. Somebody texted, I'm looking for this text. Basically, it said he was in a bar last week, and he was in a bar last week, mm-hmm. and it was the middle of the day, and there's sports on TV, and there's big groups of guys, and a couple guys started getting kind of loud, and there were people at the bar who had a little kid with them,
mm-hmm.
and they complained that these guys were loud because their child was there and heard this language, and I'm like, you're in a bar with your child. If you're in a bar with your child is being exposed to these kind of things.
To a bar atmosphere.
Yes.
It's not a restaurant. It's a bar has food.
If you choose to walk down Bourbon Street with your four-year-old, mm-hmm. and they see the sign that says huge ass beer, and they say, hey, what's a huge ass beer? Well, you can either get one, show them, and chug it, mm-hmm. or you could move a block north or south where that is not happening.
Exactly.
It's no big deal. Hey, why does that sign say girls, girls, girls? I don't know. Maybe it's a Disney princess store. I don't think it is.
No.
But we'll pass it, and you know what? We'll go down to the outlet mall. I know there's a Disney store there that's kid-friendly.
Exactly.
Yes, Cody.
I think at the end of the day, a lot of...
Oh, I like that phrase, at the end of the day. It's very jive and cliché. Go ahead.
That's what I like to do here on the big G.
GM?
I want to say something else. What's his face? The lieutenant governor, right? He probably thinks that this will bring in more money, because I think a lot of these decisions are monetarily motivated, but I'm reminded of a similar thing that happened with the WWE. The WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, changed its programming around 2000 to become family-friendly, and mm-hmm. as a TVG, PG audience, TV-14, whatever you want to call it, they removed the blood, they removed all the excessive violence, all that stuff. Well, over the last... exactly.
Motioning to their groinal regions.
All the lewdness and everything, right. And in the last 16 years, the median age of the WWE's fan has doubled, and fewer than 20% or around 20% of its audience is under the age of 18. So by doing all this family friendly stuff, it's like it doesn't work. You're going to bring in all these kids. Well, no, the adults who love the product are still into the product,
right.
And some kids might pick it up, but all those other adults that are your big fans and like to go there and do these things, now they're kind of turned off because it's just a lukewarm product, and that's what you saw in Vegas. And
yes, and if using again New Orleans, because that was the jumping off point of this, if you want to bring your children to New Orleans, there are a ton of family-friendly activities. There is plenty to do all throughout the city and the region, whether it's tours or the aquariums or any sort of history. There's a lot of things that you can do with your children. You can hear music outside. You can all of that. But to take a neighborhood that is basically defined, unfortunately, by one street in that neighborhood and say, we have to now make this everything antiseptic, homogenized, and family-friendly is unbelievably dumb. June has been hanging on. She's in Bridgeport. Hi, June.
Hi. Well, I wanted, by way of FYI, I wanted to let you know that I was watching a court TV show, And the lawsuit, even though the lawsuit actually involved the child, the judge asked the child, ordered the child to be removed from the courtroom.
Yes.
On the grounds that the court is, a court is no place for children unless their presence is required as a witness.
That makes sense.
And so, we already have such a place as, no kids allowed unless they're needed because, well, anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on to you.
Yeah, there's, thank you, June. I appreciate it. There's a lot of places that kids should not be allowed. Whether you like them or not, kids can be kids, adults can be adults. You know, I can't just go wandering into the ball pit at McDonald's.
We've seen you try.
Right. And then suddenly the police are called. It's a whole big thing.
Yeah.
You know, why is he in the ball pit? Why is he, you know, a 50-year-old man diving in? Why is he not wearing pants? A lot of questions come
Wait,
up
what?
That I don't need to answer that. But if I go into an adult establishment where pants are optional, no questions asked. Obviously, time for me to be more rude to Roger. That's, oh boy, we keep getting...
Now what happened?
I don't know. People keep texting in. Oh, he's so rude.
How long have we known
each other? I guess everybody is, but it seems like I'm not the only host that is rude to you, according to these.
What?
Are other hosts rude to you as well?
No.
Nobody's I say as well, I don't think I didn't think
no.
I was rude. I said, we have to talk to you after the news.
Right.
Have I ever been rude to you, Roger?
Huh? No.
Who are you again?
I work here sometimes.
Roger, okay. Roger coming out hot today. I'm ready. I don't know what happened. I think it's a 78-pound bag of bullseyes.
Yeah.
The caramel creams. All right, first of all.
Yeah, that's not okay.
First of all, the fattening of WGN is not appropriate, Roger. I don't understand the strap a 48-pound feed bag of candy onto everybody. I'm sure generous, sure. But what? First of all, where does
it's cheaper
one,
than steaks?
Where does one get 700 pounds of bullseyes?
A candy store.
Is that what they still call?
Bullseyes.
I call them bullseyes.
Yeah, bullseyes.
It's a caramel crib. So a candy store, just a random candy store.
It's an online. It's called the candy store.
Just called the candy. Yeah. And how big is that bag? How many pounds? How many lbs?
I think that's a 10-pound bag.
10 pounds of bullseyes.
Yeah.
Now, I know most of the people that work here.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are Schwartzy in nature.
No.
Why on earth would anybody need 10 pounds of bullseyes?
Well,
you're a generous
last
guy.
They'll for a while.
Think? No, it's like the locust. Any food out around here, it would be like if you went to the set of The Walking Dead and just threw plates of brains out. The zombies would be all over it. You leave any food. First of all, and then, not only there's this 48-pound bag of bullseyes in there, there's always, every Sunday night when I come in and I never touch it, there's a gnarled coffee cake. Schwani brings that in early in the morning. And
it's still pretty good.
Nobody cuts a real piece because nobody wants to look like they're a hog.
So they never go for the last piece.
No, so they just keep whacking off, cutting off small pieces of it.
Right.
Nobody cut that part out when we actually do the show.
Never close the cover.
No, they just leave
a
quarter of a gnarled coffee cake laying out there. And it's next to your bag, 87-pound bag of caramel corn. Candies. Is there something about the people in the newsroom that you don't like?
I love them.
To put some of them into a sugar coma so that you can get more shifts.
But I will tell you
move
this.
Up?
I will tell you this.
Tell me
a couple of weeks ago, I bought a small box of those bullseyes.
I remember. That
remember
was,
that little small
that was,
box?
That was what, like 2 pounds?
Yeah, something like that.
That seemed like a nice amount.
And I thought it would last through the week, and there would still be some for the weekend. Apparently, and I haven't gotten the exact facts on this, but it was not here the next weekend, and apparently it was gone within 2 days of the daytime people being here during the week.
See, did they give you a locker? Do you have one of the lockers at our radio station, bus station
over
there?
Yes, I do, and it's full.
Is it full of candy?
Yes.
Cody? Get a pry bar. That's, you know why I'm lashing out? Because it's hard for me to walk by. I love bullseyes. It's hard for me to walk by the newsroom and not want to just line my pockets with bullseyes. And
for later.
No, not for later. Yeah, for when I decide to just chuck it all and go back to my old ways.
Oh, no.
I'm not chucking it all for, you know, 18 pounds of bullseyes. But
I live vicariously through others' enjoyment. Right, and if those, they like to eat that stuff, people, then that's fine.
Come on. Those daytime people wouldn't throw you a hose if
that's
you
were okay. I'm okay with that.
Just, all right.
I love doing it.
You're very generous. To a fault.
To a fault.
I'm going to say, you know, that's probably a car payment. That amount of did you see the bag of candy, Cody? Inappropriately large.
Yes,
would you agree?
It's outrageous.
It is outrageous. It's kind of Flintstonian in its size.
Mm-hmm.
If Roger were driving an open-sided vehicle with stone wheels, and I dropped that on the side of it, it would definitely tip it over. There's no doubt about it. That's how
my feet would never touch the road.
I actually thought somebody had somebody had broken into the bullseye factory with a giant lawn garbage bag and just ransacked the joint. I would not even know.
They sell it like that.
I guess
it's amazing. Oh. I don't know why. Well, you know, there's a lot of candy shops around the country.
I don't know why. People have incredible sweet tooths.
There's candy shops all over the country that have the little bins. Where you can, you know, scoop out however you want and put it into a plant. And that's where this is the bulk supplier.
All right, how long do you think this is going to... Let me ask you this.
I'll till Wednesday.
Do you think there's
going
to be anything left when we get back here next Sunday?
No.
No. No. Now, you come in late Friday night. Do you think...
Yeah, get in about 9 o'clock. It'll be gone. That little box was gone before I ever got
here. Sure, because I don't know if you know this. Uh-huh. They only hire people during the week that have tapeworms. It's a known fact. I don't understand the logic behind it. I don't know if there's some sort of professional broadcasting reason that only people with tapeworms can be on during the week. That's why when I fill in for Roe, it's a whole thing. I have to eat a tapeworm.
Right.
And then I have to come back in, like when the shows are done, before I come back in on Sunday, I have to go have it removed.
I got you. Okay.
Because they're like, you can't have a tapeworm on the weekend.
I didn't know that was a job requirement. That's pretty cool.
Well, is it?
Yes.
Or is it some sort of weird enslavement? So, thank you for that. I'm going to try not to. I'm going to
just keep walking past.
I can't. I don't have the willpower anymore. I used to. I don't need more. Okay. All right, let's do this. Then we're going to go, and I'm going to eat about 87 bullseyes, and we'll find out what Karen Cotti is going to talk about, since they've been standing out in the hall, Cody, just staring in here, Karen and her cohorts, and her cronies, all eyeballing us. So let's do this, and we can get to them. All right, thanks for listening and being part of the program. We'll talk to you again next week. Karen Cotti is coming up next. What do you got?
That's what
I'm talking to anyway.
We're talking about the new class at Yale about how to be happy.
Cool.
Do you believe they have a class? It's the most popular class ever in the history of Yale. And
sure, because it sounds like a blow-off.
It sounds like a blow-off, but so many kids are depressed in college. This is supposed to help them.
Okay. And thank you for getting me all riled up by sending me that article about the French Quarter.
I think that's ridiculous.
Oh, good.
New Orleans needs to be what it is.
Exactly. All right. Well, enjoy Karen's show. She's coming up next. I will talk to you again next Sunday. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Cars for Kids.